Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected listeners, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our lessons concerning aqaid, concerning beliefs, and we have commenced discussing about what we as Muslims believe concerning Anbiya alayhi salam, concerning the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially our beliefs attached to and pertaining to Khatamun Nabiyin, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are now on lesson number 15. In lesson number 14, to explain the difference between ilm-e-ghayb and kashf. Ilm-e-ghayb meaning that all knowledge of the unseen, total knowledge of the unseen, wholly and solely is the right and ownership and possession of Allah alone. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his lifetime, and even Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, experienced kashf, unveiling of unseen information by the sole will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We discussed that in lesson number 14, mentioning various incidents in the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the incidents we mentioned was Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst making the salat, which is made during the eclipse of the sun. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved forward and then after a little duration backwards whilst in salat. After the salat, Sahaba Ikram, companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inquired. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that Jannat was presented before him, that's why he moved forward. That means that was kashf. And Jahannam, when it was shown to him, moving away from Jahannam, he moved backwards. Then another incident we narrated was the salat of janaza, the burial salat, which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed of the ruler of Ethiopia, Negus. That salat e janaza, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself and Sahaba saw that the janaza was brought in front and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed it. Another incident we presented showing the kashf experienced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was before the battle of Tabuk. In the battle of Mut'a, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst in Madinatul Munawwara, he explained to the Sahabas that Allah is showing him the battlefield, and the first commander-in-chief, Hazrat Zayd ibn Haris, was martyred. Secondly, the second commander-in-chief, Hazrat Jafar bin Abi Talib, was martyred. And thirdly, the third commander-in-chief, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Rawah, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they all were martyred. Subsequently, Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the commander-in-chief and rescued the Muslims. We also explain the story when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back from Mi'raj, and the disbelievers and the rejectors and deniers of this Nabuwat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of Mi'raj itself, when they inquired of him then how, and described to us the physical nature of Masjid al-Aqsa, that the Masjid al-Aqsa was brought in front of him, and he explained to them in detail, giving them a photographical description of it, because it was brought in front of him. In the life of the Sahaba, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once while he was giving the Jummah khutbah, he, in between the khutbah, said, Ya Sayyari al-Jabal, that he is commander-in-chief thousands of miles away, months of miles away. He was experiencing difficulty without realizing it. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought about this in the khutbah, and according to some scholars, he even saw the battlefields, and he expressed the statement which reached thousands of miles away to his commander-in-chief, rescuing the situation. His commander-in-chief immediately turned towards the posterior, looking behind him, and saved the day and confronted the enemies. All these events explained that this information which was given to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this was temporary, and knowledge of the unseen is permanent, total knowledge which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we explained about wahi, the types of wahi, the definition of wahi, and why wahi is superior to all other forms of knowledge. First of all, there are two basic types of wahi. One is wahi a matlu, and the second type is wahi a ghair matlu. Wahi a matlu. First of all, what is wahi? Then I will explain to you what is matlu, and then inshallah what is ghair matlu. Wahi is divine inspiration, divine revelation from a divine source to a Nabi who is divinely appointed. That is the meaning of wahi. And wahi, when it comes to Quran-e-Kareem, especially Quran-e-Kareem, then that is divine inspiration, divine revelation from a divine source, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to a divinely appointed person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, via divine ways and mediums carried generally by the divinely appointed archangel Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam onto the blessed heart of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And concerning the Quran Kareem, it is divinely protected, it is divinely guarded, and it is divinely safe kept. While it was revealed, prior to its revelation, whilst it was revealed, and after its revelation. The Quran Kareem, for example, is protected, the text is protected, the interpretation is protected, and the meaning is protected, its recitation is protected. The text of the Quran Kareem, alhamdulillah, the Hafiz, singular, plural, Huffaz, they protect the text by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thousands of Huffaz memorized the Quran verbatim, word for word. The meaning and interpretation of Quran is protected by the ulama who study the meaning from every aspect and angle. The recitation of Quran is protected by the Qaris who learn the various ways, methods and forms of recitation, in that way the Quran is protected from that angle also. And the Muslims in general protect the Quran Kareem by practicing upon it. By simply acting upon it, the Muslims protect the Quran Kareem. When we discuss the Quran on a subject of its own, I will discuss this in a greater detail. Wahi matlu. Matlu means that which is often recited. Often, always, more often. So, wahi matlu, that revelation, that divine revelation which is more recited, more often recited. Ulama also say that wahi matlu means wahi jali. This refers to Quran Kareem, because the Quran Kareem is that revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at no given time in 24 hours. Just like at no given time tawaf stops, tawaf only stops during the Farz Salat, for that duration only. Quran Kareem, respected listeners, that at no given time on the surface of the earth we can find a place that there is no Quran Kareem being recited. Somewhere, some part of the world, someone is reading Quran Kareem. Because of the day and night situation on the surface of the earth, where it is day in some place and night in some place, Quran Kareem is being recited at any given time on the surface of the earth. Now, wahi ghair matlu, that divine revelation which is not so often recited. This refers to and pertains to the hadith, the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is hadith? Hadith is the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amongst the sayings, the hadith, the ghair matlu wahi, which is also called wahi khafi. Quran Kareem is wahi jali, and hadith is wahi ghair matlu and wahi khafi. We get two types of wahi ghair matlu. One is hadith kudsi, and then we get hadith. What is hadith kudsi? When Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he narrates or when he says something, and when he says that Allah says, that Allah Azza wa Jal says, that Allah Ta'ala says, and then he says something, then that, when recorded as a hadith, is classified as hadith kudsi. Meaning that the meaning of the statement and the words are also of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wahi ghair matlu, which is called hadith, means when Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something and he does not say that Allah says. Yes, the content is revealed to him in his heart, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not speak of his own desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ إِلَيْهِ. Concerning Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not speak of his own desires, meaning that he speaks what Allah wants him to speak. When he speaks, it is nothing but revelation. It is nothing but divine protected revelation. And the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam basically are divided into various classifications and various types. We get hadith which is called hadith mashur, hadith mutawatir, hadith zaif, weak, hadith mashur, famous, hadith mutawatir, hadith which is continuous in nature, hadith zaif, which is hadith which are weak and fabricated, and hadith shaz, which is rarely narrated. Then we get the hadith which is hasan, hadiths which are good. And scholars of hadith, whom we call muhaddaseen, they have classified, categorized the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, when we come to that section in our lessons, we'll make a proper detailed discussion concerning wahi. In the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about many people and even animals receiving wahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, He talks of the ants receiving wahi. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he was taking his troops and proceeding in an area, then the ants and the chief ant addressed all the other ants, telling them that a troop led by Sulaiman is coming and we should go away to our holes. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him that he could understand and even communicate with the animals and listen to them and speak to them. Upon hearing this, he began to smile. But the point I want to prove is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the ants. But does this make the ants who got wahi anbiya, prophets and nabis? It does not. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when referring to the bees, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired the bees how to make the honey and also as how to make their comb, which today scientists are puzzled about and making research as how accurate these bees are, how immaculate, sophisticated, like engineers and civil engineers at work, their comb and their function, the queen bee and the bees under them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the bee. Does this make the bee, because they got wahi, anbiya? Because anbiya alayhi salam, prophets, they get wahi. And also, we have mentioned that every nabi, every rasul, every prophet, every apostle, every messenger was a male. There was no female prophet or apostle. That is the design and taqdeer, destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is beyond question. But we know very well that the mother of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when Hazrat Musa was born, then she was worried and perplexed and also fearing the life of her child. Because during that time, Firaun, he was executing all the children, all male children born in any home. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's mother, when she gave birth to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, she was worried now that my child is going to be executed soon. What am I going to do? So she immediately, upon receiving wahi, upon receiving inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she took Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, placed him in a casket and pushed him into the river which was going towards the palace of Firaun. And she instructed her daughter, that means the sister of Hazrat Musa, that observe the casket, see where it is going. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed her that your child will be returned to you and you will be given remuneration for that. So what we learn from this, that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's mother, she was getting inspiration. But does this getting of inspiration make her a Nabi, a prophet? It does not. Why it does not? Why does the ant not become a Nabi or a prophet? Why does not the the bees become Anbiya? Why does not the mother of Musa alayhi salam become a Nabi? Inshallah, in our next lesson, we will explain all this. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.